to be here with Heritage Baptist Church of this great city of Great Falls, Montana. And been looking forward to this opportunity to be with you this evening. Appreciate your pastor extending the invitation to share with you one of your mission programs, as he has mentioned, New Testament Association of Independent Baptist Churches. My wife is with me down here, 45 years together.
Amen.
And as I have the opportunity to do this, I often say that ladies sit out there and say, all right, what kind of family do you have? You know, your preaching's okay, but what about your family? So here it is, real quick. We're the parents of three adult daughters. Our oldest daughter and her family lives down in North Carolina. They have four children. Two have graduated from high school. Two are still in high school. Our middle daughter has just moved from the Baldwin, Wisconsin area, where I'm from, up to northeastern Wisconsin, up north of Green Bay. And they are now house parents in a boys' home up there. They had three boys come in earlier this year. They had a fourth boy come in just a week ago, and they have yet another one coming in today. And when you start meshing together five boys who struggle being in home, it gets the first couple of days, they just kind of need to learn one another and have a real burden for teenagers. So the Lord opened the door for them to go up there. It is a ministry. It's a sacrificial ministry, the work is supported solely by donations and churches giving. But that's where God wants them. And though we have a hole, as it is, because they've left just this past September, we're grateful for what God's doing with them. They have five children. Two of them are down at Maranatha Baptist University at Watertown, Wisconsin. Their 11-year-old is with them, and then they have a 6-year-old son and a almost 4-year-old daughter. So they've got the broadness there, and the Lord is blessing them. And then our youngest one is with us yet at Faith Baptist Church in Baldwin, and she and her husband have a 14-year-old daughter that loves music and is serving the Lord as a high school student providing great special music for us and developing her music talent. So we're grateful for that. We've been in the pastorate since 1973, graduate of Central Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Have had the privilege to see two churches started, and where we are now, came there 27 some years ago, and wasn't sure what the time was. I was just told to come, so we got there a little early, and car comes finally, and a big bone, burly type lady gets out with her two sons and stepdaughter, and we talk for a little bit, and she said, "Well, preacher, it's time to get started. There's four of you, and there's five of us. Where's the rest?" She says, "Well, that's it for Sunday school. We had a storm last night, and somebody lost a roof off their building, and the men are out there putting it on. They'll be in here for church." So we've seen that. We've seen the Lord bless that work, and we're grateful for what God has done and is doing. What I want to do is take a few minutes and share with you the history of the New Testament Association of Independent Baptist Churches, and appreciate talking to your pastor a little bit, that he knows this history as well. And so if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, you can talk to him. And he's been around the NTA almost, or from its beginning, with his father-in-law, as he mentioned. Pastor Fry was our first national representative. Several years after the NTA began, they asked Pastor Fry to be the first national representative. He was for a couple of years, and the Lord suddenly took him home. And he was followed by Dr. Errol Wood, that I did not know. I had never had the privilege. Pardon?
Wonderful.
Amen. Yes, I never had the privilege to meet Dr. Errol Wood. He served the NTA for 15, 18 years. Traveled extensively for the NTA. He was followed by Dr. Earl Madison out of Denver, Colorado, who served about 12 years. And then my predecessor was Dr. Richard Page, who had served in Minnesota for many years. And he served in NTA for 9 years, and I'm on my fifth year as national representative. Back in, we're going to, I usually extend the history of the NTA, but I'm not going to do that tonight, just to keep it somewhat abbreviated. And take it back to the 1960s, to the years of the Conservative Baptists of America. What I appreciate about the men who started the NTA is that group, and like them through the history of America, they have stood for the principles of the Word of God. The Conservative Baptists of America was a large group of Baptist churches across the Northern Tier, because the Southern Baptist Convention had already been in existence for over 100 years. Back in the early 1900s, the Northern Baptist Convention finally drew the churches across the Northern Tier of America together. But from almost the beginning, liberalism and modernism crept into the Northern Baptist Convention. So those men of God and those churches who wanted something that adhered to the Word of God had to come up with something else, formed the Fundamentalist Fellowship. That in turn led to the forming of the Conservative Baptists of America in the 1950s and 1960s. Unfortunately, in those same years, one of the great heresies of a sort, doctrinal errors, also came on the scene, called New Evangelicalism. And the churches of the Conservative Baptist America was taken in by New Evangelicalism. But there was a group of men like Earl Madison, Myron Cedarholm, Richard Clearwaters, Bruce Osberger. You don't know who those names are, but your pastor does. They were men who understood the value of pastors getting together, but they wanted something that was true to the Word of God. And they labored extensively to try and get the Conservative Baptists of America back on the right track, but it was not going to work. And so they had a brief meeting in Chicago in 1964. Out of that meeting in Denver in 1965, committees were drawn up to write up a constitution, do up the bylaws, kind of decide on a name. And so in 1966, in Indianapolis, Indiana, the NTAIBC was birthed through these men who had a determination that more important than convenience, more important than the fad of the time, was the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, there's two things. I mentioned one, New Evangelicalism. The other was that many of the Baptist churches of the CBA were still connected to the old Northern Baptist Convention. And I'm just going to make an application for you this evening. Christianity, or shall I say fundamentalism, is still caught in that same conflict. And we can take it from a church level to an individual level. New evangelicalism is still out there. Your pastor has preached on it. To me, it has taken the form of the seeker-friendly church today and all that goes with that. I don't know of an independent Baptist church that has not lost people to the seeker-friendly movement, because they want something not quite as steadfast, not quite as demanding as a whole counsel of God.
Yeah, right.
And the other point is the fact that there was dual membership. And let me just use it as an illustration for you tonight. How many of God's people have dual membership? On one hand, they're truly a professing Christian, but on the other hand, they still want some of the world. It has application to us, not only at the local church level, not only at the pulpit, but also as individuals. And so in 1966, the New Testament Association was born. It started out small at 28 churches, but it has grown, and we're about 120 now. We do reach from coast to coast and from border to border. And we have a number of churches in Montana. Colorado has a few more. Minnesota has the most, and then Wisconsin has a number of churches as well. What are some of the purposes, or what is it that the NTA has to offer you as a local church? Your pastor mentioned one of them, the Land for the Lord offering, and that is given to a church who may be buying property or maybe building, and we're grateful over the years we've been able to help a number of churches with that. We are able to give an IRS blanket exemption coverage, and to me that's important. And Heritage Baptist Church has their number. I just wish I could get that concept across to churches, because we're about ready. We're the mouse out there, and the cat's the U.S. government, and they're about ready to pounce on us. And with that number, it gives us some identity in that we are recognized by the IRS. But those churches that don't have it are like a mouse without any place to go, and with a cat that's really hungry. So I'm grateful that the NTA can make that number very easily available. If you, as a local church, if it was just to go ahead and try to pursue the numbers themselves through the IRS, there's forms and forms and forms, typically as government is. But because we are already recognized by the government, just two pages, and the number can be secured. And I believe it's going to be a tremendous asset to those that have it. And I believe there are many churches someday who are going to wake up a little bit too late and are going to say, we wish we had, but it's going to be too late with that. Tomorrow morning we leave here and drive down to, I'm just giving you a little on NTA now, drive down to Lewiston, where I have an aunt by family there, and then down to Sydney. And then from Sydney, I want to go up and look at the Bakken oil fields.
Yeah.
Anybody want to come along? No. We've had John Truce in our church, as you probably have had here. And quite amazing. I mean, us farm folks over there in Wisconsin, I don't think we can really grasp what is happening on the Bakken oil field. And we took on Truce through the NTA as a church planter at our last annual meeting, and so we are supporting them through the NTA. And I want to just see what they're dealing with. And I think, pardon the expression, but I'll probably get my socks knocked off when we get there. I'm trying to expect what it is, but I really don't think I have any reality until I see it. I just hope I get out of there alive. And I have a rental car, and I hope I get it out of there without any dents and bangs. I'm sure that it's reasonable. But looking forward to that and seeing what is really going on there. And then from there we'll head on home, and we need to be home for our Wednesday evening service. But we're in church planting, assisting church planting. We also have a chaplaincy endorsement agency. We're able to endorse chaplains. And that has been a real asset for those who have come under the NTA. We had Captain Leslie with the U.S. Army. He served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He has retired from the Army. We have a Montana Air National Guard chaplain. We have a Veterans Hospital chaplain, a Civil Air Patrol chaplain, We have a Wisconsin National Guard chaplain, and we also have an Army Reserve chaplain. And so we're grateful that we can offer to them our assistance, that we can be their endorsing agency, and they are able to hold to their convictions and not have to deal with commanding officers who may have an attitude. Because as their endorsing agency, they can simply say, my endorsing agency, the NTA, will not allow me to do that. It is not their position. It is not my position. And that's the exception to the military life. You know, you can't do that in any other area of military, but the chaplains can. And so we appreciate that, and you pray about that, because you know what's happening in America, and the same thing is happening in our military. And we pray that the military will still recognize endorsing agencies for the benefit of their chaplains. And as fundamentalists, we can still have a part, and we can have our chaplains in the services as well. And there's other things we do. We have our monthly, our quarterly paper that we put out. And we have a couple copies on the back there at the table. You take them home and look. We have our various chaplains with their pictures back there and some other things. So on your way out later this evening, if you want to take a look at that. And there's some other things we do. Three things that I encourage churches as I have the opportunity to come and visit with you. One is pray for us. Is the NTA on your missionary prayer list? And I appreciate it that we are. I ask that question as I have the opportunity to speak, and the people nod, and then they realize that though they are part of the NTA, they're really not praying for the NTA. And so I just remind them that we need your prayers, and you are important to us, and we want to be important to you. Secondly is participation, and having your pastor come to annual meetings, and it's opened up to lay people as well. Next year, 2015, we'll be in Golden, Colorado, southern suburb of Denver, and Dr. Ed Nelson is our keynote speaker. So well known out west here. And he was back in those early days, and that was one of those staunch, stubborn fundamentalists that believed the Word of God was the ultimate authority. And though he did not join the NTA, he was nonetheless one of those who saw the need for it, and was very helpful in its formative days. And then payment support, and appreciate that Heritage Baptist Church does help to support the NTA. We're a national association working on a very limited budget, and so I'm not afraid to make known that as churches that are part of the NTA, we do need your encouragement, and we do need your support, and we're grateful for that. That's the history and what the NTA has to offer, and your relationship with it in a very condensed form. So with that said, I would have you turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to share with you a brief message tonight, Lord willing. A verse you know very well. A verse that most of you probably have memorized. A verse that you probably have memorized it. Lord willing to give you something to think about with the verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Before we preach, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here, and as already been expressed, thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, without the grace of God, we do not know where we would be tonight, but we would probably not be where the Word of God is being preached. So, Lord, I thank you for the grace that has come into our lives, the changing of the life that has been brought about by it. We thank you, Lord, for the convictions you have given. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have through missions to be a part of lives near and far. And we thank you, Lord, that we as members of a local church have a tremendous responsibility to pray for those who are representing us in some very dire fields today. We pray for those who are in Africa, who are called of God in these very troublesome areas. Those who are called of God to serve, Lord, in lands where Christianity is considered the enemy and it's a threat of life to be there. We thank you that you are the protector. We thank you that you are the one that watches over. And we pray that you will bless and have your way. Thank you for your word, for its truth. We thank you, Lord, for the way it has changed our lives and continues to change our lives. And we thank you, Father, it is the word of truth that we have to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say, I'm going to divert here just for a minute. When I heard Dan Hassman, I had Dan Hassman in a Christian school.
Amen.
So I knew him. I knew him before when he was a young man, and his three sisters, the Hassman family, mom and dad are good friends of ours over in the Wisconsin area. The oldest daughter, the oldest child, a daughter. I was married to a pastor, and they have moved just next door. And a pastor, a neighboring Independent Baptist church. Now, the second child is also a daughter. She and her husband live about 50 miles away and kind of moved a little bit away from fundamentalism, but are still active in a church. And then there's Dan and Karen, and what a blessing that they are on the field serving the Lord, loving the Lord, trusting the Lord. And then they have a younger sister, Mary, who is also married to a pastor. And she and her husband, and they have adopted a couple of children, and they have a couple of children known. And they're also serving in the pastorate in a town in Wisconsin. So that's an update on the Hassmans. Now to the Word of God, please, if you would. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Have you thought about what God is saying here? It is humanly impossible physically to be steadfast and moving. Have you ever thought about it? You cannot be unmovable and moving. You're one or the other. Physically, most of you are basically steadfast. You're sitting. You're really not going anyplace. Your feet are still. I know that your eyes are moving. You're listening and all that, but really, you're not going anyplace. You're in a steadfast, unmovable position. We're either one or the other in our physical life, but when it comes spiritually, God wants us to do both, and spiritually, we are to be doing both at the same time. And so he says there, be steadfast, unmovable. And this to me is when we are listening for the Lord, when we're waiting on God, when we're standing, wanting to know what God would have us to do. I think of Israel as they have come out of Egypt. This mass of people have come out of Egypt. They have come to this body of water that seemingly is impossible to go over. And they have looked behind them. And here comes Pharaoh with his chariots. He's again angry. He's going to teach these Israelites a lesson. And I love what God says to Moses. God kind of pulls Moses aside as you read over there in Exodus. And he says, Moses, I want you to stand still and see what I'm going to do. And Moses go back to the people. You know, they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're fearful. They're ready to give in to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, and go back and be slaves and eat their onions and garlics. Wow. Ladies, how would you like to kiss a guy? That's his diet. Onions and garlic, you know. That's what they wanted. You know, you read the story, you heard the story. But I love what God said to Moses, and Moses said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There is a time that you and I need to stand. We need to be unmovable because God wants to speak to us. God has something to teach us, to tell us, but too often we're too busy and we don't get it. We don't hear it. I just read about Saul. Saul could have used a couple more times of standing still and listening to God. He heard God, but he didn't hear God. And I think of 1 Samuel 17. One of the great, great stories of the Old Testament, David and Goliath. Now there's Saul. Saul was standing still, but he should have been doing something. You know, the Philistines were on one side of a valley and the Israelites were on the other side, and Goliath would come out and mock the Israelites. That's when Israel should have gotten up and said, as David said, how dare you speak against our God? They should have been moving. They were standing still. That was not a good time to be standing still. And God brought a shepherd boy in their midst who was not about to stand still. He had stood and listened to God as a shepherd boy. Now he was ready to do something because God had proven himself to him. And as he looked around, and you know the story there, he didn't stand and say, huh, I wonder how we can do this, Saul. He already knew what God wanted him to do because he had been in his times of unmovableness, sitting perhaps on a rock, meditating on the greatness of his God and watching what God was doing, and saw the hand of God on his behalf. He was ready to do something, so he went forth, and Goliath was no more. But listen, he did not abound before he had had the experiences of standing still and knowing God. Our devotions are a time when we are still to hear from God. I trust you have devotions. I trust individually you have devotions. I trust that as families you have devotions. Teach your children to sit and listen to what God has to say. It might be 3 minutes. It might be 5 minutes. It doesn't always have to be long. But we need to teach our children that even though the world seems that they'd always be throwing things at them, and they need to learn to sit and hear what God has to say. And I enjoy my time of reading the Bible and just taking some time to think about it, and then prayer. God's time, you know, often. I trust you're there. Often in prayer, we're busy telling God. Of course, He already knows it, but we're still busy telling Him. I need this. Aunt Susie needs that. The church needs this. Tell the pastor how to preach. You know, we're busy. But my delight in prayer time really is just, okay, Lord, I've done my talking. I'd like to hear from You. And He will. Not like I'm talking to you, obviously. But He'll speak to you inwardly. Spirit bearing witness with the Spirit of what God has to say, what He wants you to do. So we need that time of steadfastness, unmovableness. You're here tonight. An opportunity of steadfastness, unmovable. You were here this morning. Same thing, Wednesday night. But then just don't be content with that. Now determine what God wants you to do. How does He want you to take what he has taught you and to move on with it. What is it that God has for you to do for him? We have too many Christians who are just content to absorb and not give out. But from what I know of Heritage Baptist Church, your pastor isn't allowing you to sit still, is he? There's things to be done. There's souls to be won. There's boys and girls to be reached and mom and dads to be reached. There's a building to be kept up for God. There's buses to be run. There's much to be done. And we need to do that. That's our growing in the Lord, our abounding. Our abounding in the Lord to move forth, to bring forth fruit, as the Bible says in John chapter 15. Galatians 5 talks about a more reserved type of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of the Christian life. But I don't believe we can bear them forth as we ought to until we have taken time to understand how God wants them to be manifested. You know, I can express love my way, but God has a way that He wants me to express love. I can kind of put on an air of being joyful, but there's a joy that God wants me to have. And I won't learn that unless I'm taking time to learn from Him, and then I can express it correctly. So there's a fruit of the Spirit. And then there's a fruit of just being interested in people, interested in one another, and knowing that there's a great opportunity out there. Very briefly, my testimony. I was raised in a non-Christian home. I was raised in a very upheaval, unsettling home. There's five of us brothers. I have an older brother, I have a twin brother, I have two younger brothers. My mom and dad did not have a good marriage. And so I heard the name of the Lord Jesus, but it was not in praise. And I'm so grateful for a church called First Baptist Church, who is like Heritage Baptist Church. And back in the early 50s, late 40s, early 50s, they sent out a Sunday school bus.
Amen.
And through a neighbor of ours whose brother went to the First Baptist Church in Milltown, it swung by. We were 3.5 miles out of town. It swung by and picked up us three older brothers. And so we went to Sunday school. 10 years. Let me see. I got to get that correct. It's not 8 years. 10 years. Went to Sunday school. Got on the bus. Went to Sunday school. Sat in Sunday school, got back on the bus and went back home. There was no children's church. It was just Sunday school. But I'm so thankful the Lord used that. He used good, faithful Sunday school teachers.
Hallelujah.
I was talking to another a pastor who I thought his background was interesting. He was a Wednesday night kid at one of our independent Baptist churches. A Wednesday night kid. And I said, how is it that God has brought you into the ministry? He says, Gary, really, the one thing I am so thankful for is that I had Sunday school teachers who were interested in me and taught me the Word of God.
Amen.
He says, I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for that. He says, I was the first one saved. My dad got saved, but he didn't know anything. He couldn't teach me anything. But he said, Sunday school is what shaped my spiritual life. So stay with it, folks.
Amen.
Stay with it. You never know when God has that special someone out there.
Amen.
And maybe the first time they come into the church, they all but tear it down for you. But you don't know what God has.
Right.
I was not preacher material. I was timid. I did not like people. When folks came to the front door, which was actually the back door of a house, if it was summertime, I would go out the back door. I just did not like people. I was intimidated by people. I had no confidence. But through Sunday school, God brought to me the the understanding of salvation. And we went to church on a non-Sunday night. Something special going on, kind of like your meetings you got coming up. Only it was just a one-night deal. Some man in the church came out of the house and asked my parents if us boys could come. And so we went, and God just wonderfully, gloriously, just that night, I don't remember a lot of convictions. I don't remember a lot of struggling with sin, but I remember so evident that night of knowing that I needed Jesus Christ as Savior, and going home that night and kneeling beside my bed and asking Jesus Christ to come into my heart. That was over 50 years ago, and it was like last night.
Hallelujah.
I love that. I'm so thankful that God has so impressed that upon my heart. But I didn't do much with it. I wanted to. I tried to read my Bible. I tried to pray, but there was really no encouragement from within the home because it was still a struggling home. So it wasn't until I got out of high school and went into college and went to a secular university over there in Wisconsin. And there was a very active Bible study group on the campus through the First Baptist Church of River Falls. And God used that to open His Word to me and use His Word to call me into the ministry. And I still said, Lord, I don't think You know what You're doing here, but You're the Lord. And so I finished out River Falls, got my bachelor's degree in agricultural field, and went over to Central Seminary. And in between there, Shirley and I were married, and went on to Central Seminary, got my master's of divinity. Now folks, you got to understand, here is a country boy. I had only Sunday school for most of my life. Towards the end, my family started to go to church, so it was just church. I only remember one youth activity ever attending, never a Wednesday night, never a Sunday night, no Bible college. I'm at seminary. And you talk about an awakening. That, it was, I was just kind of limping through until we got to the character of God. And wow, in theology class, the Spirit of God is finally able to awaken me out of my stupor of thinking I understood. And I, to this day, and I trust it's with you in another way, but to me, the character of God, the attributes of God are so precious. That's really where my life turned around. And I began to comprehend what God had to say in His Word. But my life is still a matter of waiting on God, because I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Being steadfast, unmovable, taking those times, waiting on God, and then doing what God would have me to do. And I trust that you are also, as you're here tonight, and that you will take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:58, and you realize, well, no, I can't do this physically, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about spiritual. You need to, let me use two illustrations here if I can. Our grandson at Maranatha Baptist University got sick last week. And they didn't know what he had. They thought it might have been viral meningitis, and so there was some real concerns. Ended up he had double pneumonia. But my daughter and her husband, our son-in-law, are about 3.5 hours away, and so they finally made a decision to go down and make a decision whether they should bring their son home out of college for a week or whether they should leave him there. It's a case where they were both steadfast and moving. How do I explain that? They were in the car, but they were asking God, what do we do here, Lord? When we get down there, what do we do? They were steadfast and movable both, but they were in a car. They were moving. Two things at one time. I think the greatest illustration for you and I is when we're out calling on people. Lord, help me to say the right things. Help me to understand who I'm going to be talking to. But we're moving. We're going from door to door. We're going from house to house. We're going from person to person. We're steadfast. We're asking God for wisdom. We're unmovable. We know what our faith is, and we want somebody else to have that same faith in Jesus Christ. But we know to get it done, we got to be out there. We got to be doing it. We got to have on the sandals of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're moving. We're doing. Same thing with your bus ministry. Lord, what door should I go to? Who should I knock on? You're trusting God. You're steadfast, but you're out there. You're laboring. You desire fruit for the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. What a joy it is for us to have that privilege to do that for Him and to know that He's honored by it.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, as certainly have already. Lord, the working and serving you, Lord God, but being unmovable, the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, if there'd be anyone here tonight not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that Lord, tonight would be that night. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that church that came to this young man's door and invited him to Christ. Lord, help us to be at that day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. It's very heavy on my heart. I keep hearing it. And it just seems like it won't go away. I need Jesus as my Savior. Right there where you're sitting, why don't you make a decision tonight? And just say, you know what, I'm going to take care of this thing. I'm going to take care of it right now, right here, right at this point. I am going to get saved. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of questioning whether or not I'm going to heaven or not. I'm going to take care of that right now. I want you to know we're praying for you, that God would do that. I know that when I was a little boy, teenage boy, 14 years old, I was confused. I was having a lot of trouble in my life. And I finally gave in to God. Let's all stand. You're here tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're not sure you're saved. You say, preacher, I just don't know about that. Well, let me show you from the Word of God how you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. I'll be up front. You come right now. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I could not say if I died right now, I'm sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure of that. Why don't you come right now? You know what? When I was saved, I was 14 years old. I was in a church of 2,000 teenagers. My mother sitting next to me. My mother was sitting next to me. Can you imagine that? 14 years old. I was a troubled teenager. Troubled. Grew up in a church, heard it all. I could pray a King James prayer just like any preacher could. But there's one thing I couldn't say. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. And I took care of that. Why don't you come tonight? Just people move out of your way. Just say, excuse me. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's holy word. I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here to show you that God loves you and He will come into your heart. Why don't you come right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come right now. How many times God give you this opportunity? Very few. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believer's baptism that's down in the water and up out of the water. I have not done that. Why didn't you come? You're today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. This is where we believe God wants us to work at. You come. Maybe some of you are here that you haven't been too steadfast. God's speaking to your heart about going and doing and inviting your friends and working the bus, working, going soul winning, and just kind of, you're holding up. I'll tell you what, that's a challenge tonight. It's a challenge. Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God. We thank you for the NTA, Lord. It means a lot to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the times that have spoke to our hearts. And, Lord, those that have helped. Lord, I pray we'd be a blessing and a help and encouragement now. Speak to our hearts. And, Lord, I pray now as we take an offering for Brother Thompson, Lord, travel up and down the country. We know it's a lot of money to be traveling. Pray you'd help us to give tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you'd come at this time. You may be seated.